In studio, I have got Peter and Michael Spierig. Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
Now, wait a second. Is Michael in the green shirt and Peter in the...
Does that help for radio? I don't know if that...
Well, it helps for me when I'm directing my questions because I've got two identical twins in the studio,
Yes, but
yes,
that was correct.
Good. Now, in case you haven't heard of these gentlemen, the dudes who made Daybreakers, a film from a few years ago, who are back with a brand new film called Predestination. Very different film to Daybreakers, it's fair enough.
Yes, no vampires in this one.
Zero vampires.
There is Ethan Hawke, though.
That's true. He is in the same... I was talking to Dave, who makes our videos here, about Daybreakers the other day, where it's just going... The scene at the start where the vampire girl sort of walks out as the sun's coming up, and then the bit at the end where they realise how they can get the vaccine or whatever it is around the place. Anyway, there's no vampires in this one. I guess both films do ask a lot of philosophical questions and stuff.
Yeah, Predestination asks a lot of questions, and that's part of what we love about the story. It's a complex film.
I'm going to play a little bit of the film just to try and give you an idea of what we're talking about.
What if I could put him in front of you? The man that ruined your life. If I could guarantee that you'd get away with it, would you kill him?
I don't need to remind you of the critical nature of your final mission. So please, rest.
The explosion will level 10 blocks of New York and leave over 11,000 dead. Everything we've done to stop him has failed, but I was close this time. Just one more try.
So there's Ethan.
Yeah, there's Ethan
grumbling there.
Does he grumble a lot?
Well, it depends. On what time of day you get him.
And what character he's playing or what part of the character. This is the thing, it's so confusing. It's like a cop movie about time travel, but then it talks about the time travel paradoxes and stuff, and it's kind of hard to talk about it.
Well, this is a film about identity and gender. You've never seen a character like this in this type of movie before, a sort of transgender time traveler. Yeah. I call this film a transgender mind bender.
Yeah, that's good. It rhymes and it's true. and this comes from a book.
It's based on a book that was written in the late 50s called All You Zombies. And we had to change it because we've made a zombie film in the past and people assume we're making another zombie film. But it was written by Robert Heinlein in about 1958, and it's considered one of the greatest short stories of all time and the mother of all time travel paradoxes. Yeah,
when was it written in?
Late 50s, 58.
58, and apparently he wrote it in one day. And you think about the complex nature of once you see the film, it's a very complex sort of paradox film, and he was a very clever man.
And when we talk about paradox, this is the whole thing of when you go back in time to change things, or if you go forward in time, you move around in time, what can you mess with? Can you mess with yourself, for example?
Yeah, exactly, and what kind of effect does that have on the future or the past? And I'm sure plenty of people have seen Back to the Future, the nature of paradox, and Doc Brown's
warning. This is not that similar to Back to the Future. But I guess that's the thing. Did you have to change much from the book?
It's a very accurate representation of the book. The book's only 10 pages long. It's a pretty accurate translation. But we've added a whole thriller element, a detective element into the story.
And a 10-page short story doesn't expand into 90-minute film, so there's quite a lot that we did add.
Did you also add or change the method of time travel, the violin case?
We did. We wanted to use a DeLorean, but it had been taken.
Why did you choose a violin case as the way to make this guy travel through time?
We thought some of the aspects of the film are film noir, and so we loved the idea of that image of a guy in a trench coat, the hat, and carrying a violin case, and we wanted it to be fairly inconspicuous.
Yeah, I love how these moves, movies that are set in a dystopic time but not necessarily in the future. It's kind of like a parallel world to ours where things happened that didn't necessarily happen in our timeline.
Well, that's exactly right. Like we're saying, the book was written in the late 50s, so and the film is set from the 40s through to the early 90s. So it's Heinlein's interpretation of what he thought the 60s or 70s.
He thought there may have been space sex workers when man started going to the moon.
Wait, there isn't?
Well, we don't know, do we? We don't know because, gosh darn, the government won't tell us anything. I'm talking to Peter and Michael Spierig, and this is what their gender-defying time-traveling cop in their brand-new movie Predestination has to say about time.
Time. It catches up with us all, even those in our line of work. I guess you could say we were born into this job.
More of Ethan Hawke there in Predestination. Are there more than just one time traveling cop in the book or in the ideas around the film? Because we only really see one.
There are, but we focus on Ethan, and it's Ethan's last mission. So he's there to stop a bomber who's about to destroy a portion of New York.
Or has destroyed, depending on how you look at it.
But then we find out through the course of the movie that there's a lot more going on than just him chasing this terrorist. And again, I can't explain more than that.
It's difficult. It's difficult indeed. Yeah. Well, why don't we just talk about you guys? You guys are identical twins. Have you always made films together?
Yeah, it seems like we have since we were young kids. I mean, Michael studied graphic design, I studied film, so he would do design things on my short films.
And you were winning awards before Michael was.
Plenty of awards before Michael, and then he jumped on the bandwagon.
Yeah, riding his coattails. I mean, we started out making skate videos together. I mean, that's kind of how we started making films. And then it just sort of grew into making short films in the backyard, a few zombie films with some friends. And then, we never thought it was actually real. You know, we never thought we could make movies because we're from Brisbane and we're just like, oh, you can't do that. You know, but we just, I think perhaps Peter Jackson, you know, the guy's from Wellington, look what he's done. And we just thought, well, maybe we can try, you know.
Did you ever use the fact that you are identical twins to make special effects easier? you ever put yourselves in the films?
I've tried acting. I am terrible. Really?
I can confirm that.
But I know Ethan Hawke said he loves working with twins. He said it's like a dream working with twins because of the way you guys know each other.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is too, like Michael and I, the way we talk to each other, there's no real sort of censorship. We're pretty honest with each other. And so if we see something we like and we both react strongly about it, I guess for him too, it confirms that it's good and we can move on.
I didn't realize there's actually quite a few sets of siblings that make films, like there's the Coen brothers and the Wachowskis, who were the Wachowski brothers before was it Larry became Lana. Mm-hmm. I remember the Soska sisters.
The Hughes brothers
as well. Do you think there's a thing that like helps, you know, to make, apart from the fact that you're honest with each other, there's some sort of sibling thing going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you grow up together, you have the same kind of influences and you react the same way to certain things. So and there's trust, there's total trust. You know that the other guy isn't going to screw you over. At least I think.
You think so? What about on set? Do people, like, who do they talk to? Does Ethan Hawke, can Ethan Hawke tell you two apart?
Oh, yeah. It took two movies, but yeah.
That's why you had to get him back, because he could tell you guys apart.
Exactly. I think, I mean, Michael and I think, don't look identical. I mean, I hope I don't look like that.
you probably don't agree.
I'll just say, Peter, your hair's not as big as Michael's.
Oh, well, right.
So Michael has bigger hair. I've got two younger brothers who are the twins that aren't entirely identical, and people always think they look exactly the same. You guys did all the effects on Daybreakers as well, like just on a laptop or something, didn't you?
We did a lot of that. We did about 300 of the 500 on our laptops, and it was a monster effort.
This is a film, Daybreakers, if you haven't seen it, about a society that's completely overrun, or a world that's overrun by vampires, who are the dominant species, and humans who are kept in farms. And there's a lot of effects in that. There's less effects in Predestination, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Predestination is deceptive because there are actually quite a lot of effects. It's just our goal was to make them look like... There were no effects.
And well also, done. Also too, I mean, on this film, this was, because we've worked with the same makeup effects people, our makeup team was saying this is the hardest film they've ever had to do because there's some gender stuff going on in this film that is extremely difficult to pull off. And apart from the makeup team, we also work with an Aussie actress, Sarah Snook, who is just amazing in this film.
I want to talk about her. Actually, I might check a song on, but we should talk about her because she's actually in two films that are out at the moment. And she was also in another film with Ryan Quanten that I saw a couple of years ago. Anyway, we'll chuck on a tune and we'll come back. Actually, I want to talk about some of the music from the film as well because you guys get to jump all over time and find cool tunes.
Yeah.
On Triple J, this is Meg Mack. I'm talking to the Spearig Brothers about Predestination. Roll up your sleeves. In front of me, a couple of dudes who definitely rolled up their sleeves, Peter and Michael Spearig, to make the brand new movie Predestination, which has some pretty sweet music in it, as well as crazy time-travelling paradoxes. A little bit of Iggy Pop. On Triple J, this is one of these songs. Probably, there's not too many songs in Predestination. This is definitely one. This is like November 1, 1970, the bar scene in Predestination.
This is 1970 by the Stooges.
Yeah, so this is punk rock 5 years before punk rock even happened.
Exactly.
That's great.
Gotta love Iggy.
And you got to put that in the movie because you could jump all around time.
Yeah.
That is rad. Is a soundtrack coming out or anything?
Well, you see, Peter wrote the music in the film.
I wrote the score,
Have you guys been approached by some unions for, like, not employing enough people on your films?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we This is the first time I'd ever written a film score. So I thought, if we get the movie right, and then it's left to me to write the score and I screw that up, it's like, you know, Michael better fire me.
Imagine firing your brother.
Yeah. But it's very daunting to do something like that. I think, I learned saxophone in concert band number 2 in high school. So I know my music.
That is great. We got Flume and Chet Faker both play saxophone as well. There's a lot of saxophone coming up.
Saxophone's back in a big way.
But you did have some amazing actors, as we were saying, to show the movie off as well. Ethan Hawke, who you had in Daybreakers, and Sarah Snook, who I first saw in Not Suitable for Children, the Ryan Quanten movie.
Yeah.
And she's also in the These Final Hours, which is at the moment. It's fair to say, for a lot of this film, she looks very, very different.
Yes. Yes, she doesn't have facial hair in
either,
those other
either of those films. What was the? How long was the process of, I guess, aging and changing the gender of Sarah?
It was about a 4-hour process. I think they got it down to 2.5 hours by the end of it. It's a lot of work to change somebody into a man, and she put up with that for weeks and weeks and weeks.
And it's a very risky proposition to assume that it's going to work, too, you know, because if that didn't work, the whole movie would have fallen apart.
Because you don't want it to fall into some kind of, you know, for want of a better word, drag queen sort of pastiche. You know, it's a really serious part of the movie.
Exactly. But it's also like that aspect of the film is just a piece of the big puzzle of the movie.
As you did say, there's never been an intersex time-traveling cop film made before.
So. Not that I can recall.
Although if you want to correct us, you're absolutely happy to. 043975745. And that's not even a twist. The twists keep coming. Do people who see the film, do you think they fully understand the film, and is that important?
I think you get the extremes where people totally get it, and then you get people who are just scratching their heads. I think the fun of it is if you go with a bunch of friends, you talk about it afterwards.
Yeah.
Because the answers are there.
This is the thing, my girlfriend's away at the moment and I watched it by myself and I'm just like, what do I do? I'm looking up, you know, there's not enough people have written proper things about it, you know, where you can probably comment on it. And what are you guys going to do now? You've made like 4 films in 14 years?
This is actually our third film. Okay. So
one was a short film.
Yeah. It's taken too long. There's one project that's closer to being made than others, and it's called Winchester. It's about the Sarah Winchester fortune. She was a person who inherited the Winchester rifle fortune, and she believe she was haunted by all the ghosts that were killed by the Winchester rifles. So she built this mansion in San Jose and to kind of house the ghosts and to confuse the ghosts. And it's all based on a true story. The place really exists. Stairways that go to nowhere, doors that go to 2-foot
seance rooms.
And you've been to this house?
Yeah.
And that, once again, no vampires and no intersex time-traveling cops. It's something else altogether.
Unless they were killed by the Winchester rifle.
I guess we'll have to wait and see. Hey, Michael and Peter, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
On Triple J, Predestination is out tomorrow.
It's the Doctor on Triple J.